Hey everyone, welcome to Nowhere to Run. My name is Chris. This is a special edition where we're interviewing Elliot Nesch. Elliot is the creator of the movie Zeitgeist Refuted, and he's just come out with a new movie called Zeitgeist Refuted Final Cut, which I really recommend people to see. It's a concise version of all the Zeitgeist debunking material in one film, and he's done a really good job with it, and he's a very interesting guy. So I think you'll really enjoy the conversation that Elliot and I had. So here he is, Elliot Nesch. His website is holybibleprophecy.org. Here he is. Elliot, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and maybe your testimony really quickly? And
it'll be difficult for me to put really quickly, but in a nutshell, I was in darkness, like us all. I was a child of wrath and just hated, any idea of God, and the word God and Christianity left a horrible taste in my mouth. But my parents were not Christians, so I had no Christian upbringing. I had only been to church like once as a child, and I had picked up the Bible in a motel room once and read a bit of Ezekiel. And other than that, I had no knowledge of the truth, and I was just deceived. And once I got into high school, I started drinking and became an alcoholic, and some bad things happened in my life then, and it just progressed worse and worse until I was selling all kinds of drugs and hanging out with meth cooks and shooting up meth. And I went to Boulder to live when I got out of high school and got involved with the Asian mafia and was selling ecstasy for the triads and basically hitting rock bottom. And one night I was just calling out, wondering what the meaning of this all was. And prior to that, the spiritual realm had begun to open up, and I began to see demons, and I was possessed by demons at some occasions. And anyway, that night I had a vision and saw the Lord. I saw a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It was more beautiful than anything I ever seen, and I basically died, and God took me to his throne, his light and his majesty, and I was just drawn to him, and I kept going toward him, and he was just so beautiful. He was light and he was love, and I knew that God was real then. And I asked God at that point to just take away what he had shown me, because it was too wonderful for my eyes, and I was unworthy to have beheld him. And I promised that I would live a perfect life, because I knew that I had wasted my life, and I was condemned in my sin, and I was just so ashamed. Like Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the glory of the Lord, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." And that's how I felt. I knew that I had died, and I knew that God was real. And he ended up putting me back, and I haven't lived a perfect life. I've fallen many times, but that was the beginning of my walk with Christ. And at the time, I knew that I saw Yahweh, but I didn't know which book he communicated his truth in. So I began looking at the Quran, and I began looking at other religions, and I found the truth in the scriptures. And I saw that, the Bible says God is love and God is light, and Jesus was God in the flesh, and his spirit bore witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. And I knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And since then, I've just been growing in grace and following the Lord.
Well, That is a really, really profound testimony. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. It's hard to follow with questions there, but I remember first hearing of you through the walk that you did, the Denver to DC Walk for Truth, and I know that basically you were walking from Denver to DC, and you were spreading awareness to, it seemed to me, you correct me if I'm wrong, to the Christian world, a kind of that showing that Christianity wasn't pro-war, as this was right near the beginning of the Iraq War or in the middle of it, and also to spread awareness about 9/11 Truth. And I saw a lot of there's a lot of footage online and things like your confrontation with different police officers and things like that. And I was just so impressed about the way that you handled everything in a really Christian and constitutional way, and I was really proud of you. But if you can kind of tell me what the about that just briefly, and if anything came of that, and that, yeah.
Raymond Schwab and I walked from Denver, Colorado to DC, and our message was geared more toward the Christian community. We weren't really speaking to the world. The message that God gave us was for those that were professing Christians or called themselves Christians. We were just outraged when we went into churches and when we read that 70% of evangelicals supported the war in Iraq, and in our experience, most people weren't educated on 9/11 truth and all. And so, first and foremost, we were preaching the gospel of Jesus, and secondly, we were trying to call Christians, professing Christians, to repentance for their support of the war in Iraq and to bring about 9/11 truth and awareness. And yeah, there was some fruit. If you'll watch the video on the internet of my final speech in DC, you'll see, most of the world has rejected the gospel, especially the 9/11 truth crowd. You'll see when I'm speaking the gospel there in DC, they removed their banner from behind me. And I just saw that as, the world not endorsing our message. And I learned several things from the walk. I think that I made a mistake in yoking myself with the 9/11 truth crowd and some peace activists. Like, since then, Paul's words really mean a lot to me when he said, "When I was with you, I determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified." And so I think the walk would have been much more powerful if we would have forsaken, the 9/11 truth and some of those worldly things and just stuck to preaching the gospel. Granted, I think they're important and it is truth, but this world is coming to an end soon, and the only thing that matters is bringing souls to Jesus Christ. And I remember the most memorable part of the walk for me, there was a peace activist that I was walking with. His name was Gordy, and he joined us in Ohio, and he was an unbeliever, a total heathen, like drinking, and he came to know the Lord through our time together. Like, we began reading the scriptures with him and praying with him, and he, in the end, he confessed that Christ is Lord. And that's the kind of fruit that I'm looking for now. So I guess I've repented of those other things, and I want to focus more on the gospel. And I still believe that God called us to walk across the country for those issues, but it was a learning process as well.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you there. It's definitely when things get really, really important, it just becomes more and more focused on Jesus, as far as all this goes. A lot of these things are important still, but pale in comparison. There's only one thing that they can know.
Moving on a little bit now, of course, as being a part of that, and you would have noticed the Zeitgeist movie when it came out, and as it was also very prominent in the so-called 9/11 truth movement. Could you tell me a little bit about what prompted you to make the first movie, Zeitgeist Refuted? And yeah, that's where I'll be. Yeah.
Well, I watched the film. A lot of people have recommended it. I was actually in the midst of walking across the country when I first saw Zeitgeist, the movie. And I had met a young lady on our walk who is a professing believer, and she said it really shook up her faith, and it didn't really shake my faith. You know, I've seen the truth, and I know that God is real. I have His Spirit, and I just wanted to test all things. And I began researching, and obviously, the film is easy to critique since they have all their sources cited on their web page online. And so I began, you know, looking at their sources and tracing back where these claims were coming from, and you know, found that they weren't using any primary sources, and a lot of their claims were simply bogus. And yeah, so that's kind of where it started. And since then, as I go out evangelizing and sharing the gospel with younger people, I noticed that the majority of them have seen this film, Zeitgeist, and almost quote it verbatim when I'm speaking to them, and they just take it as fact without actually researching it and looking into the evidence themselves. So rather than spending 2 hours with each individual, I felt the Lord called me to, you know, make a more concise version of the film since more research has come out, and basically just use the DVD as a tract to hand to someone to take home with them and watch. And many people have emailed me, and you know, I've seen a lot of fruit from the work.
Right. And just so your listeners know, you just recently, as in this week, if I'm not mistaken, and at least in the last 2 weeks, came out with the Zeitgeist Refuted Final Cut, which is basically a brand new movie, right?
Yeah, it's a totally recut. A lot of new information's come out since the older one, which was more pioneering work, but research from yourself and Frank and Keith Thompson has also put in a lot of good work, and there's a brother, Steve Gregg from Narrow Path, and he had a good tape or video on the subject, and there's also a lot of good websites which you're aware of. There's have a lot of information, so I just wanted to make a concise, you know, put the best stuff into 1 2-hour film, which was hard to do, but
Oh, I can tell you, it was to me. I think this is. I really encourage my listeners to go watch this movie, go download this movie, because I believe that you really accomplished that in making it concise, right to the point, right out of the gates. Doesn't waste a minute getting to everybody. And I know this is something that if it was linked and spread around, this is how a lot of good can be done, because it. I think it's you've done an incredible job with it. The one of the things I liked about it, Elliot, was that you went through and you used a lot of the stuff that people had as far as using the scholarly material that people would refute certain claims, but you also incorporated a lot of it. But it seemed like a lot of it was original stuff I hadn't seen other places too, where using a lot of the information that the people that would be considered skeptics were refuting this soundly. I mean, there were so many things that were just open and shut cases that just are devastating to the Zeitgeisters, you know, and I gotta commend you for it, and I really hope people check it out.
yeah, glory to God. I just want to encourage those that are of the truth and know Jesus to pray for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to go behind it. I mean,
Amen.
without that, just a dead work. But
I
think
Amen.
it can be a useful tool to bring people to the truth. But I'm really trying to labor in prayer that it would get into the right hands, and that those people that are deceived, you know, even Acharya S. and Peter Joseph, we need to love them and hope and pray that they would wake up and know that Jesus is Lord, even of their lives, and repent.
Amen.
That's what I'm praying for.
Amen. I liked how you put it on your website, which you're not selling this movie at all. You do accept donations on your site, which is holybibleprophecy.org. But I liked how you wrote right there on the place for to download it, to be sure to pray, you know, make sure to pray when you hand them out. And I think that's the way to do it. That's how to make, you know, to make sure it would have an effect. So I think that it has, like you mentioned, I think this is really important thing I want to ask you about is how many people do you think that you are running into that have seen this movie? Because I feel like that number is underestimated by a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, used to say, well, you know, you're kind of harping on this movie a whole lot, you know, to me or whatever. But, I mean, it was probably I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I'm sure it's probably eclipsed things like Loose Change and things like that. And a lot of people that I've known, even in my small town here in Tennessee, you know, are thinking that they have some secret and that they've seen this movie and that nobody else has. Do you have any insight to how many people have seen this?
Well, there is Peter Joseph's claim on Wikipedia that it was number one on Google Video for a time. And obviously we can't trust Peter Joseph, but in my own personal experience, you know, I've been on the streets in Portland, and we're living in Colorado now, and I go out to Denver, and almost probably 90% of younger people that I speak to have seen this film or bring it up. I think a lot of people have seen it.
That's a really big number. I think that should encourage people because in this time to actually burn copies of this new movie and have them ready for you. Bring them to your churches. The fellowship that I've attended in the last few months, they're all aware of it. You know, they've had a lot of people come and talk to them about it. So this is, as you mentioned, a really needed evangelism tool that's just necessary and needed. So I definitely want to encourage people to visit your site, and I want to talk a little bit about the issues there as far as the particulars is, and the research. Was there any particular thing that you uncovered that you felt like was of particular importance or prominence as you were doing the research for this last film?
What's powerful for me is to see that the places that these claims are coming from are, as you know, people given over to darkness and haters of God. Many of them not only believe in God, but have chosen to follow Satan or Lucifer and have sworn their allegiance and work to him, like, you know, H.P. Blavatsky and Albert Pike and Manly P. Hall and others like Acharya S. I think she ignorantly makes claims about, you know, the world is worshiping the wrong deity and needs to worship the devil. I don't think she really worships the devil, but through Satan's deception, she is deceived and she is in darkness. And through deception, it just goes to show me that, you know, we are in a spiritual battle, darkness against light, and praise God that Jesus is Lord and that he has defeated the enemy, and all principalities and powers are under him through him and his work at the cross. But
That's true, man. I know that you presented that extremely well too, and the way you did it didn't seem like, I got to say, through the whole time it seemed so logical when you would bring something up like that. I've seen it done in lots of different ways or whatever, but as far as you bringing up that aspect of things as far as they being, as you said, given over to essentially Satanism, it seemed so appropriate to bring up at that way and in that way. One thing I thought that I know that I haven't seen before is the idea that the basic premise, which is the zodiac itself and the different houses of the zodiac and the sun passing through the different houses, Pisces, Aquarius, etc., that was a Babylonian, essentially a Babylonian invention in a much later time. I guess we're talking about, you might have the specifics, but that the premise, therefore, is fundamentally flawed. And I thought that was a death blow.
Also, I found it edifying, you know, going back through the Bible and seeing, you know, in Deuteronomy and throughout the prophets, in Isaiah and Ezekiel, and in the Book of Kings, the practice of worshiping the sun and the moon and the celestial bodies, the whole premise of Zeitgeist is that Christianity and Judaism is based on that. That was renounced as idolatry, and God hated it. Like, there's a clear distinction in the Bible between God. He is separate from his created world, which includes the sun and the moon. Like, it treats them totally separately, and it renounces those practices.
It sure does. And you brought something up in the movie that I just recently been reading too, in Ezekiel, when God takes Ezekiel and shows them inside the temple where the where priests were worshiping the sun, and God clearly says, you know, he's basically showing Ezekiel, like, this is what we're about to judge, kind of thing, this abomination. And I thought that was also interesting, in that those that would have access to the interior of the temple, with my limited knowledge of the priesthood in that time, would probably have been the government at that time. So if indeed this kind of religion is indeed carried over, and nothing really much has changed, then that we still have people in power that worship the sun. But okay, one thing I wanted to talk about, and you touched on this as we were talking about the New Age idea and theosophy and the integral role it seems to play. And I feel like you would agree in the sense that theosophy itself seems not to be that big of an organization or anything else, but it's this spirit of Antichrist seems to be more noticeable in theosophy, and I guess it I don't know. My question is, it seems to be a destruction of Christianity that seems to be the goal. Can you give a logical idea and a reason why the destruction of Christianity is so important to this concept and spirit and this religion, if you will?
Well, they need to destroy Christianity because their belief, like the New Age and like so many other belief systems out there, is contrary to the Bible. Namely, you know, most of these belief systems deny sin and the inherent wickedness and evil that humankind is born with, because we all descend from Adam, and even the Zeitgeist movement will deny that humankind is totally depraved and wicked. I mean, their whole basis for the Venus Project is it's a farce. It would never work because humankind is corrupt. And many of these belief systems, like theosophy, will all claim that everything is one, and that's contrary to the Bible. The Bible says that God is holy and he is separate from his creation, and we're not all one. In fact, every person is going to give an account for their life. It's appointed for every person once to die, and then comes the judgment when everybody will be judged for their works. And, you know, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But, yeah.
Right. That makes sense. And I guess talk a little bit, if you would, about the premise of the zeitgeist, or not just the premise, but the zeitgeist movement. And I don't know if you see what you see the purpose of just floating the idea of things like the zeitgeist movement or similar things that we've seen with the 2012 ideas of these utopias and Atlantises and things like that. Is there any insight that you have about why that would be promoted so heavily at this time?
Well, I think throughout the Bible, we can see that Satan, the adversary and accuser, has always tried to counterfeit the true kingdom of God. And just like the world will counterfeit the things of God, Satan wants to make a counterfeit of God's kingdom, wherein dwelleth righteousness, holiness, and peace, joy, love, all those things that are of God. And so obviously the world is going to try to create its own utopia in a mockery of the kingdom of God, where Jesus is king, and it will just never work because people are wicked.
Right. I feel like they have this concept of that there will be no leader, and at least as these ideas that the argument always comes back to, well, the problem is that you've given all this power to somebody and you're essentially trusting them not to be evil, and that's just not logical. I mean, at least historically speaking. But I feel like that will come on the heels of some great deception. That people will think something has changed, but that's besides the point, I guess, right now. I guess what issues, Elliot? I know that you were burdened with like the DC walk to get to Christians about the different things. Is there anything that presently is on your heart? Anything that you would like to say? Anything that you've just been thinking a lot about lately?
Lately, my heart has been to really pray, to press in, and God has blessed me with a lot of faithful brothers here in Colorado whose heart has also been to pray, and we've just seen a lot of fruit and power in prayer. And I think that for a move of God to take place and for revival to take place in this land and in this country, and God's people need to get on their knees and really pray. And God is faithful. He says that if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And if we ask, we'll receive. And just seeing God sending the Holy Spirit to us, which communicates the things of heaven to us and shows us His heart, has just really driven me to want to seek Him more and just be molded and fashioned into the image of Christ. And He's given me a greater desire and burden for the lost. Like looking back on some of my street preaching and some of our videos, I see myself as really proud in the way I approached a lot of people. And He's just really humbled me that in weakness I could be stronger by Him. And I've just really been blessed by really seeking the Holy Spirit and that power and seeing God move in the midst of that. He's given me a heart for evangelism, especially just witnessing to people from day to day. Even last week, I was praying in the morning that I could hear God's Spirit more clearly. And that day, I went to a coffee shop, and there was a young man sitting at the coffee shop. And I walked past him, and I just kind of nodded my head, got in my car, and left. And I was driving for a while, and I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to witness to that man. And I was just not going to have any peace unless I went back there and spoke to him about the Lord. And I was driving, and I thought, man, he's going to think I'm an idiot if I turn around and go back there. But God was giving me no peace. And that was what I prayed for, that I could hear the Holy Spirit. So I ended up driving back, and it turned out he was really interested in seeking spiritual things, and took everything that I said to him from the Gospels as truth. And so I found that relying upon God and his work has just really been a blessing rather than in my own strength. And that's what I just would like to encourage you and other believers to do, is to pray and to know his heart and to hear his voice.
Do you have any recommendations for maybe not how to pray, but what kinds of things to pray for, when to pray? Like, do you pray against certain things? Just kind of walk us through some of the things that you think about that you feel that we should pray about and things like that, or how to pray. Just some examples, maybe.
Oh, well, you could look at Jesus's model prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and Paul admonishes us to pray without ceasing, so you don't necessarily have to. It's good to have specific times throughout the day to have quietness and to still your heart before God, but I think it's good also just in the ordinary circumstances, like at work and throughout your day, to speak to God and to be quiet before Him, to hear His voice, and just to lift up all things to Him, like everything. God is love, and he has such great hope and expectations and great places he can bring us in his kingdom if we would only humble ourselves and seek him. It says, it is not entered into the heart of man, the good things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I think that begins right now. So just lifting up everything to him where we find lack. He wants us to be in perfect contentment and charity and love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and temperance with all people. And if we see a lack anywhere in our life or our family or those around us, our church, just to lift it up to him and strive for that. And he's faithful to answer every time.
Yeah. Amen. Also, do you have any suggestions for evangelism? Any things that you think would be really good ideas, or maybe just what you do, or any kind of ideas for people that were thinking about stepping out in obedience in that way?
Personally, I've found, just to be ready in all places throughout our everyday life. It's good to make an effort to go out and speak to people, but in Ephesians chapter 6, part of the armor of God is having feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we're told to preach the gospel in season and out of season. So wherever we go, we need to be a light for Jesus. I just witnessed to a man the other day in Target, and I talked to somebody at the video store just to keep it natural, I think, starting out in the natural and just always seeking for that opportunity to bring glory to God or to change the conversation into the spiritual realm. And most of all, we need love in our heart for people. And I know that that's a lack in my life and something that I'm praying for. Like, I really want tears for the lost. The prophet Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, because his heart was so yoked with God that he was truly burdened for his people Israel, knowing their sin and that destruction was nigh. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem. So if we truly are men and women after God's own heart, like King David, then the Holy Spirit will just well up in us, and it'll be God's work and not ours. So again, just seek God and he will lead you.
Amen. What about, I know that listening to that final speech in D.C. and things like that, you felt that there was judgment coming. And I just wanted to get your views on where, on judgment and where we stand in that, and what we should biblically be ready for, if anything, on that? Yeah.
Well, I said that at DC because when I was praying about walking across the country, I fasted, and the final night of my fast, God confirmed that He wanted me to go, I believe, by giving me this dream. And in the dream, I was walking, and there was just this great tsunami headed for a city that was on the left of me, and the tsunami or the judgment on my right. And I felt I was in between, sort of interceding before God on behalf of man, and just calling people and warning people. And I honestly, I don't know if there is going to be judgment of some sort upon this nation, whether it be, you know, wars or famine or pestilence or something. But I do believe 9/11 was a warning, and it was God in His mercy calling this nation to repentance. The ultimate judgment, you know, is if we do not have and believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior, then we're condemned already. And that's the ultimate judgment. But I also presented some parallels between Isaiah chapter 9 and the judgment upon Israel in Isaiah's time versus the judgment that happened here in America on 9/11, and there's a staggering number of parallels that led me to believe that it was God speaking through that it was a warning, that He was using that terrorist attack, whoever was behind it, as a warning to call this nation to repentance.
Right. Well, I think that we'll see a lot of, I don't know if I would use the term revival, but I think that there's when the darkness gets darker, the light inherently will be more visible. So I hope that in this time that you know, God has used a lot of people to build up this resistance to a lot of the, at least this little corner where we're at, as far as a lot of the deceptions and the leading people into the occult and the things like that. And I feel that He has used you greatly in your movie, Zeitgeist Refuted. I get emails all the time from people saying that Zeitgeist Refuted saved them, brought them to saving faith and things like that. And it was the main thing that was there. And now that you've come out with this new one, Zeitgeist Refuted Final Cut, which is an incredible consolidation of the best research as you set out to do, I think that this is something that we, as the salt of the earth, kind of prohibiting the inevitable decay of this world while we're here, I think that we can get this to the people that need it. And as Elliot said, pray about it, pray for it, pray that it can be that God's Spirit can be with it, and that can be with the people that see it, to just, you know, grab their attention and let the Holy Spirit just convict them as they see it and see the implications of what it means. And so, Elliot, if you want to give out some of your information of where they can download it and things like that, and I'll also put some links in the show notes of my show. But if you want to just give out your personal information and stuff like that you want people to have, and we'll probably call it a night.
Yeah, the film is available at YouTube/Elliot Nesh, ELLIOTTNESCH, and you can download it there. And I'm also going to be updating the website soon and putting it up there, and that's www.holybibleprophecy.org, and that also has some writings and things on there. And, yeah, I'm not afraid to talk to people over the phone, too, if people want to pray or have questions. You can call me at 970-443-7683.
All right. And I know that I was real worried about you for a while. I thought I couldn't get a hold of anybody there at I couldn't find the website, the Beit Shalom Ministries website, which and I was worried for a while, but it turns out you're just fine and starting a really exciting life, it sounds like. And I would encourage people, if they feel blessed by the movie or they've seen anything done, to donate to Elliot at his website at the Holy BibleProphecy.org site. And as the movie is free and everything, and I'm sure that would be a great blessing in this very, very important time that we're all in. So, Elliot, I want to thank you for everything, and I hope to talk to you soon. If you need anything at all, just give me an email, and I'd be happy to help any way I can.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Lord bless you.
All right. Goodbye.